This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. I heard about Kathleen Meyer and her passion for plants from prior Spark guest Jeff McCormick, who sucked Kathleen into his mammoth project that produced the book Bush Medicine of the Bahamas, on which she's listed as co-author. I meet her and find she doesn't just have a green thumb, she has a green heart.
My passion is really about the plants. And so when I look at how do I really reach people with self-care, it's really looking at the plants. And I'm a huge fan of living according to the seasons. And every season has its own rhythm, its own medicine, and its own connection. So when we're looking at self-care, one of the first things, you know, that we talk about with children or we're raising children is to give them rhythm. And this, having them go to bed at the same time, eat the same food is kind of boring. People don't like it. But rhythm is such a huge medicine. Because the Chinese say experience consumes qi. And qi is an Asian word that means energy or life force. So when we think about the huge variety of life experiences that we have by the time we're five, we can really see why we're coming into some of the problems we're having. And so there's this whole notion in our culture that variety is good and keep them entertained and really different. And that can be really taxing for our system. So why I love the seasons is there's a rhythm to it. And it's reinstating what are the traditions? What's our instinctual nature?
You talked earlier about how your true passion is for plants. Talk to me about that passion, because it's a show about passion. Personal passions.
Personal passions.
All right.
See, how far back do we go now?
I don't care.
I guess where I would really start the story is I was in the Peace Corps, and I was in Chile, and I was a health and nutrition educator.
And when was this?
This was post Allende, for the history buffs out there, and Pinochet, quote unquote, his first free election. So it was a very interesting time to be in Chile. So we were located very rurally and working in health and nutrition. And Chile was called the country club of the Peace Corps because it was stunning. You'd go to Santiago, you'd swear you're in Paris and Providencia, and it's very, very comfortable. And one of the things that was happening was there was this whole attitude. They had a saying that said, no sea bruja, don't be a witch. And what they were referring to was don't use natural medicines, because we were on that cusp of modern medicines are more preferred. You look better. If you use natural medicines, you were a campesino, you were rural. So it was just, it's just so interesting how history reflects this sense of self as far as a culture. And here we are going full circle, paying gobs of money for alternative medicines and herbs and all of that when it's just the way we lived. So what would happen was they would take me out into the field, but I couldn't really identify the plants. You know, I wasn't old enough really to grasp the meaning. But what I did was I took the teas, I watched them take the teas, and they got dramatically better.
You mean teas as in
herbs,
herb
drinking
tea.
Herb teas.
Okay.
So the beginning of the passion was in the Peace Corps and coming back, trying to figure out, we don't have herbal schools. We don't go to the herbalist. So it was quite a torturous journey, if I say, of how do I bring this into our culture?
When you got back from Chile, what did you think you were going to do?
I was going to save the world by working at the World Health Organization. So I went to graduate school in Washington to GW and get a master's in public health. And I had sort of this existential crisis where I realized, well, if I'm going to travel internationally and go to Africa and go to South America and save traditional medicines and help them not lose their traditions, I really looked around and said, where's our traditions? And so that was the beginning
in this country.
Because I didn't grow up with any traditions in the sense of my grandmother was from Germany. I learned some of hers, and some people are incredibly fortunate, you know, to still be living with generations and knowing what teas and what foods and, you know, for example, putting vinegar on kale. You know, that's an Appalachian tradition because the acidic quality of the vinegar extracts calcium.
Get out.
So there's so many nutrition, you know, we think of them as recipes, but there's an alchemy to a lot of what our elders and our grannies would do. And of course, that's not noted anywhere. And here today, we're told to take Tums for calcium, but that's preventing absorption. So we have a long way to go, but bringing the traditions forward really makes a difference.
Okay, you're having this existential crisis, and you've got your master's in health administration?
Health administration. Well, I decided not to.
You decided not to? Okay, the existential crisis.
Followed through. I was adamant, and I was loving graduate school. I love the research, and also this was a passion. I thought, this is really important. So I set out to find out how to become a traditional practitioner. Where are our traditional practitioners in the United States?
Now, define traditional practitioner.
Traditions are practices that are born by the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
Most people refer to allopathy or the AMA as traditional medicine, but that actually is conventional. There's conventions today that we won't be practicing a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. We see the whole hormone replacement therapy of menopause after 20 years. It's like, oops, sorry, that's not right. That's a convention. A tradition is putting vinegar to greens to extract the calcium because that will last as long as there's greens and as long as we have the vinegar. So tradition is something that's passed down. Maybe there's a Wikipedia definition that it has to have a certain number of generations. But it's something that is tried and true.
Kathleen Meyer hung around the World Health Organization and discovered far too much paperwork, too much convention. But she also knew a strictly traditional education wouldn't reach the masses. So she got a physician's assistant degree and went to work on an herb farm. Why did you get your physician's assistant's degree and then work in an herb farm?
Well, you know, that's, people talk about allopathy. When people talk about health in our culture, it's going to the doctor, the nurse practitioner, the PA. And I really wanted to be able to speak the common language because, again, in the 80s, if you went into a health food store, it was pretty intimidating. You had to have your Birkenstocks. It was really elitist in a way. So becoming the PA and then working on the herb farm, I began by giving classes. And what happened was the scientific background, being a physician assistant, sort of opened the doors, allowed people to have that sense of comfort. Oh, well, she's gone to medical school. She knows what she's doing. She's talking about ulcerative colitis and biliary disease and... So there's that legitimization as well as my knowledge, my own personal knowledge.
Were you teaching at classes?
I was teaching everywhere.
Everywhere.
I was teaching anywhere, everywhere. I went into NIH. We did these. I worked with the Walt Whitman Clinic, working with HIV, nutrition, doing research with them, all on, you know, very low wage. At the herb farm. And at the same time, I'm living in Rappahannock County. I feel like I grew up in Rappahannock. I lived in Flint Hill and Little Washington. And for me, that's the apothecary. Those mountains, those woods, that was my herb school. So I'd be out with friends. I'd be hiking, always with my book, studying the plants, a lot of self-research. It was the good old days when there was no licensure for massage. So I got a book, George Downey's first book on how to give a massage. I taught myself massage. And then I'd travel around to the wealthy people in Middleburg and the Plains and make a whole lot of money giving massage while I was self-studying the herbs. And I feel in 7 years, What happened was people started referring to me as the herbalist. And for me, that's a community-created herbalist. Mm-hmm. It was word of mouth. The plants worked. And so that was really what planted the seed for me to start my own herb schools. People want to know this.
Why? What do you think is the appeal right now?
I really feel that these are times of great change, of great consciousness. You know, a lot of old systems are fortunately fading away. People are coming to realize that they have a lot more authority over their bodies, that they can take their health into their own hands. You know, there's such a hierarchy in medicine, and that hierarchy, I believe, is beginning to change. And also, when people have to take care of themselves, it really makes a difference. And we see Europe never really leaving some of the health-promoting practices that we're just starting to bring into existence. You know, for example, bitters. You know, they have bitters, the Campari, the bitter salad after a meal.
Bitters.
Bitters.
B-I-T-T-E-R-S.
B-I-T-T-E-R-S. Bitters is a fabulous tradition. You know, all around the world, stimulate digestion, relax us, get the bile flowing. We don't have that. And so we have so many digestive complaints. And these cultures that have never left their herbal traditions, the children just grow up knowing, oh, you take your bitter.
And what is a bitter?
Dandelion, like anything in Campari, some of the aperitifs, mm-hmm. You know, they're herbal. Wormwood is incredibly bitter. Gentian is bitter. And they make them palatable, but they're very stimulating and relaxing. And I use them all the time.
What haven't you done that you want to do?
Nothing.
Yeah, you just
love to do nothing.
Yeah.
quite honestly, for me,
that's
saving the world. Well, I would probably be outside a whole lot. Oh, my goodness, it's such a rich world. There's so much I'd love to do.
What I'm hearing is that you got on this path, and you are a happy traveler
mm-hmm.
on this path.
Mm-hmm.
And you're pretty pleased. It's satisfying.
Right, right.
You sort of followed your gut, and
totally,
here you are.
Totally, yeah.
You're bitter, well-bittered gut.
My bittered, oiled full belly got me down the road.
Find a link to Kathleen Mayer's website, Sacred Plant Traditions, on the Spark page at WMRA.org. And just a quick tip from Kathleen for all you summer beverage drinkers. Lose the ice. Here's why.
According to traditional Chinese medicine, when the body is taking in things that are colder than body temperature, it's really constricting. And any form of constriction will cause congestion. So ice cream, ice cubes, all of that is really antithetical to our circulation, our health, especially the reproductive system.
Stay with us for soccer player Henry Gotay and a Kim Johnson essay honoring her father.